Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. Allegedly, the players and management had worked out an agreement with the NFL and the NFLPA as it relates to the national anthem. If you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you can stay in the locker room. If you go out on the field, in the presentation of their marketing their product, they want everybody to stand up. It obviously that was not a satisfactory position. Joining us on the line, Doug Cinceri, WWL legal analyst and host of All Things Legal. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Good morning, Noel.
So please explain to us what is going on.
In layman's terms, in layman's terms, they want to determine whether the patients are going to run the asylum or not. But in legal terms, the NFL instituted a very generous procedure for the national anthem. Basically, what they said, as you stated before, was that the players could either stay in the locker room or be respectful on the field during the national anthem. And the NFL has several powers to do that according to the agreements in the collective bargaining agreement. First of all, the commissioner has broad powers to take any action or govern any action that for detrimental conduct on behalf of the players. And also, he has jurisdiction over game day operations. So, and also, the teams have the ability to impose reasonable club rules for the players. So they have the NFL saying, we have powers to implement this policy, and we really don't need your approval for it, NFLPA. The NFLPA is saying, all we're doing is a peaceful demonstration, and it's not detrimental to the game, so therefore it has to be collectively bargained, and that's where the dispute is. That's the crux of the dispute.
So everybody kind of, and just for the benefit of the listening audience, everyone says, well, you know, you got a First Amendment right to do this. You have a First Amendment right to do that. First Amendment rights are protections against government intrusion, right?
Right.
And the NFL is not a government intrusion.
Well, you know, I sort of get a little crazy listening to these ESPN and sports commentators lecture us, lawyers, about the First Amendment, and they have no idea what they're saying. But the bottom line is this. The NFL players do not have a First Amendment right while they're on the field. They don't. They don't have a First Amendment right to protest.
They're really one level up from an invited guest.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you this. I don't know if you watch on game day, there's a guy named Gary Barbaro who used to be an all-pro. Mm-hmm. Player for Nickel State, played with the Kansas City Chiefs. He is sitting there with a clipboard. And if a player does not have his socks pulled up all the way to the bottom of his pants, he could be fined $5,000. Because the NFL has the ability to legislate or dictate how the players act and perform on the field. And if they don't, they're subject to rules or fines.
Yeah, you can have a uniform of the day, and they have to adhere to the uniform.
Right, and so to say, now I'll give you a parallel, and you could appreciate this, Newell. For example, the Dallas Cowboys wanted to peacefully pay respects to the Dallas police officers who were killed in the line of duty. The NFL said, no, you can't do that. The NFL respected the Dallas Cowboys didn't like it, or Jerry Jones didn't like it, but he respected it because the commissioner has the ability to govern game day operations and those type of issues. So,
It gets to the point when you have 53 players on a roster, 32 teams. You do the math. You're going to have everybody that's got a different issue of the day that they want to have and memorialize, and it's all well intentioned. I get it, but you can't manage it. It becomes problematic.
What issues do you say can be protested, and what issues can't be protested? And actually, I have to give kudos to the NBA, Adam Silver. He shut that down before it even got started. and it hadn't really been an issue with the NBA. Now, the NFL national anthem policy has had detrimental effects to the NFL. Viewership is down. Sponsorship is down. The surveys regarding the level of enthusiasm for the NFL from Middle America is down. And the NFL the commissioner has a definite right to control the marketing of its product. And if they think that the marketing of their product is impaired by national anthem protests, the commissioner has the right to address it.
So where does this thing end? Obviously, the players, because of, I guess, a gentleman's agreement that was reached between the NFLPA and the NFL, they didn't want to go into court, and they wanted to give the NFL an opportunity to remediate this thing, because the policy is one thing. The enforcement of the policy is probably where there's more of a slippery slope under the collective bargaining agreement than otherwise, correct?
Yeah, and I think what the NFL did to address that is to told the players, you have an option. It's not telling the players you don't have an option. You have to stand at attention. What it is saying is if you decide not to participate in the national anthem or you have some grievance with it, stay in the locker room. So it's not like they're being requested. They're given a choice. They're not requested to do something against their will per se. They could either stay in the locker room or not. Now, here's my theory. I mean, when I was working in the NFL, I know the attorney for the NFLPA, and we do this as attorneys, Newell, as you know.
Right.
Sometimes your clients are wrong,
mm-hmm.
and they don't believe you're wrong, so you let them go to court, get run over by the train,
right.
and then they'll realize they're wrong. Now, what I would suspect that there's a certain aspect of the NFLPA is they know that there's an uninformed consensus that's well-informed, but doesn't really understand how business works, how the NFL works. They just have their little narrow view. They're saying, look, you're probably going to get run over by the arbitrator, but we're going to do it because we're going to let the arbitrator say you can't do it rather than us, and we preserve our political standing with you as an NFLPA rep. That's sort of my theory to this. But because I just don't see legally under the collective bargaining agreement that the NFLPA has any shot.
You know, and I've talked about this before, is that as employees, you have certain rights under Title VII and otherwise, but they're very limited. In most of these states where these NFL teams are in or at-will states, you enter into negotiations vis-a-vis the union representation and the collective bargaining agreement. It's a balance of interest. You give up rights, you get more rights, you know, for other things. And when you have something like this and you're stepping out onto this field of play, that's you're at work. I mean, that's like being a UPS driver and saying, I have the right to put a sticker on the side of my van that advocates whatever position I want on that day. And I don't care what the UPS
right.
or FedEx folks have to say about it because I have a right to free speech. It doesn't work that way.
And I'll put it in your terms. When you have lineups and inspections or official functions, and you have officers kneeling down when the in the presentation of the flag. I mean, you have a right to say, as the sheriff, no, you stand up at respect. This is where you line up. This is your protocol.
If you're wearing cover, a hat, you salute. If not,
that's right.
You put your hand on your heart.
It's exactly right. Now, and this is the misconception because I think pop culture takes certain aspects of the Constitution, applies it without the proper context. Yes, you have a First Amendment right, but not at work while you're employed.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it and you carry it to the point of ridiculousness, I guess, for lack of a better term, if you think about collectively all the employees in this country and when they all go to work, that they have a right to say or do whatever they want and stand up for whatever cause it may be. It could be leukemia, the Heart Foundation, this, that, or otherwise. It doesn't have to be a racial equality issue or any of those. How do you manage?
It would be a 24/7, I guess, advocacy. Advocacy at your rather than work going on. This is work. And so, again, this is the thing that people, players, these players 90% of them are going to be out of the league in 4 years. They're not the future of the league. They're just here temporarily, and for them to be dictating the long term, future of the NFL is sort of crazy. But you know, again, the team has the right to market itself in the most favorable fashion, and it's good business never to exclude any portion of your customers, which this national anthem policy does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, you can walk out of the dome, or you can walk out of any NFL stadium and go to a public piece of land on the sidewalk, on the street, or the neutral ground, or whatever, before the game, after the game,
yeah.
And say whatever you want, wave whatever you want, you know, have a banner, talk about whatever it is that you want. But you know, you're really an invited guest when you're there on the field.
And absolutely, and these players are young, and they play football, but they're not educated as to life. They're just not. I mean, they're 23, 24 years old. And, I mean, it's very interesting. Eric Reed, who was an all-pro caliber safety in the San Francisco 49ers, made a big deal. I'm going to kneel. Well, in the offseason, he really doesn't have any employment. He's like, you know what? I may not kneel now. I need a job. You know? And it's just a very interesting reaction. And to see what's really going on here. But, I mean, basically, the NFL needs, you know, they have the right to control their product.
Well, look, we all went through those years of being very young, and we all went through those years of thinking that we were not dispensable. And then at some point in time,
right.
We mature, we wake up, and we realize, oh, wait a minute, I am dispensable. I am the center of no universe, and I just can't make these demands that are not based on reason.
absolutely right. And so I think the NFLPA is going through this exercise to maintain its political standing with its players, even though I think they know that they have a 98% chance of losing.
Now, the timing of this real quick, Doug, because I got to get to a break, is that once the NFL puts the rule out in advance of the season, there's like a time period, and then it's embraced, and they really, under the CBA, I think they can't say anything at that point in time. So there's like this time, there's this window of opportunity to do what they're doing, and I think time was running out before the beginning of this season. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think really what the NFL's position is, the NFLPA has no say on what we do. We can do whatever we want on these set of rules because it involves game day operations, it involves detrimental conduct. So whether you like it or not, we're going to do it, and you have nothing to say about it. And the issue is, does it fall in that bucket, or does it fall in the bucket of, needing detrimental conduct to the game, and at the end, and that there's some type of collaboration as far as the rules concerned.
Absolutely. Doug Cinceri, thanks so much for joining us, WWL legal analyst and host of All Things Legal. Always appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Neil, have a great day.
Great week as well. We'll be right back. We want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and on the Blue Runner opinion poll, do you think the NFL's national anthem policy infringes on a player's rights? 89% of the respondents say no. Let's go to line one, talk to Tony and Metairie. What say you, Tony?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Real quick, last year I started looking at the ratings. Sport and News was one. Forbes Business was the other. And I researched it from about the middle of the season to the end, and it from the 2012 low point, the 2012 season low point, to when the protest started, it dropped all the way to 20%, you know, a decrease in 20%.
Yeah.
What these union reps aren't telling the players is when the next collective bargaining comes up, and the networks had to give so much what they call, and this is easy to research, what they call free money. They have to give this money back to the advertisers.
Yep.
Now, who are the players and their reps going to blame, you know, for the drop? In other words, it's real simple. Some things are simple. People go to the game to enjoy something and to get away from the everyday bad. They don't care about Emmett Till. They don't want to hear about so. They want to be entertained. The same reason I go to the movies,
yeah.
Or go to ball games. And nobody's bringing this up. In fact, I'm in shock that Trump ain't brought it up since he's so money smart, you know, when it comes to money.
Well, I think he's got a lot of other more important issues to deal with at the present time. But thanks so much, Tony, for calling in. And on the text line, you guys are racist. You are disgusting and despicable. I don't remember talking about race. What I remember talking about is that if any of the members of any of these teams want to advocate for any particular position, how do you manage that? This is far bigger than what Colin Kaepernick wanted to talk about. This is trying to manage what the advocacy of all of these players desire. And how does that work in an employer-employee relationship? We'll be right back. On the Blue Runner opinion poll, do you think the NFL's national anthem policy infringes on the players' rights? 85% of the respondents say no. Let's go to line three. Talk to Bob on the West Bank. What say you, Bob?
No.
Yes, sir.
I don't think it's discriminatory, but I think it's hypocritical. The question that I have,
Hypocritical of whom? By whom?
Because you are applying a different standard to the players who are employees versus the same standard to attendees of the game who are really renting that space for that time. And as a if you're a stadium owner, you could ask the people that are attending to have the same respect for the flag, which they don't. How do you deal with that?
I don't think you can, quite frankly. I think you're wrong there, because there's not that nexus of employer-employee relationship that you have with the players. It's a whole different class of individuals.
I just don't understand why the people can't be required to pay the same respect to the flag. And you're speaking to Vietnam.
But this isn't really about. It's really not about respect to the flag. That was a symbolic way by which they wanted to protest what they see are social inadequacies in this country. And the real question is how does an employee actually have the right to do so while being paid by the employer? And the answer to that question in this country is no. And, you know, so for example, the Raiders tight end Jared Cook said during spring this year, we're not just athletes. That's true. We're people that live this. That's true. It's people in our neighborhood. That's true. It's people that we grew up with. That's true. It's people that we know who are actually living through these circumstances. That's true. So when we speak on it, it's not like we're just speaking out of the side of our neck. That's true. It's things that actually touch home and things that we can actually relate to. That's true, too. I believe all of those things that Jared said. He's missing the point. The point is he can talk about this anywhere he wants, but not while at work. In this country, you don't have a fundamental right to free speech while at work. You have a fundamental right of free speech against government intrusion. And at the workplace, the employer has the right to restrict your ability to do certain things. I don't get to come to work in a bathing suit. I might like to. I could distress a lot of people by walking in here in a Speedo, but you know, I don't have that right. In fact, the employer can fire you if they don't like the color of your hair because you don't have a right to employment. And we've lost sight of it in trying to make this a race issue, trying to make this as a social justice issue, trying to make it everything other than what it is. You are an NFL player and you happen to have an employer. And that employer belongs to an association who, by the way, has been granted antitrust exemption and has a lot more latitude than a lot of other people. And that's one of the reasons why you have the CBA and everything else that's going on there for the protection of the player. But you don't have all these rights to do what you want, when you want, how you want, while at work. I mean, is there any argument that on Thursday night, Sunday, Monday night that you're at work? I don't think so.
Well, no, I think it's just disingenuous that they're demanding so much from the players, but the people just ignore everything.
Well, that, the people don't. The people don't work for them. They're putting on a product, you know. And what's happened is the people have spoken. There's a 10% drop in the ratings. So they're trying. Those people that are in that stadium, they've been sold a bill of goods, and they're going there for a reason. And in the overall marketing of that product, which the player is part of the show. You know, that's what this is. It's a show, and they're a part of that show. Now, they may not like that, but they obviously are very talented individuals in their own right, and this is how they get – this is how they make their living.
Well,
you don't get to unilaterally decide that you're going to do whatever you want, however you want, on somebody else's nickel and in somebody else's forum. It doesn't work that way, and that's the problem that we have here. This isn't about race. And it isn't about the cause. It's about the rights that you have as an employee. And unless we want to go in a completely different direction as it relates to that, we're not going to resolve this issue. We can make up and put all the smoke screens we want, but that's not what this issue is about. Thanks so much for calling in, Bob. Appreciate your insight. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll come right back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. On the Blue Runner opinion poll, do you think the NFL's national anthem policy infringes on the players' rights? 85% of the respondents say no. Let's go to Jeff on the West Bank. What say you, Jeff, on line two?
Thank you. I had to call back. Your comments, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, you're a former police officer, former sheriff. But it really is startling to hear the way you think and a lot of police officers, the way they think.
And how is that, Jeff?
It's indicative that most police officers and organizations do not support organizations that fight for the people. Now, this is a clear example. You made a statement that when a football player is on the field, they're an invited guest. For you to think that way says so much about you. A football player, he's on the field. If you're paying me, I'm not a guest. You don't pay guests to come. I'm not a guest.
I was talking about as the rights that you have legally.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying. Football players are not part of the military, and they're not police officers.
So what difference does that make?
Okay, I was in the military. I was in the Navy.
But what difference does that make?
Okay, I'm about to tell you. If you're in the Navy and they're playing the national anthem and you kneel down, oh, no. You might be out the Navy within 2 weeks. But because that's the Navy's policy. That's the government's policy. You stand up for the national anthem. Standing up for the national, is that part of the job of a football player? Is that part of his income is standing up for the national anthem? Is it?
Well, Jeff, I made it about the employer-employee relationship. It doesn't matter. And I said it's not about really standing up or kneeling down for the flag.
I know what it is. And actuality, kneeling down is actually a show of respect.
It doesn't matter at the end of the day because they articulated that they were doing it as a symbolic of to Perfect. Represent a social injustice.
True.
We're not arguing about whether or not someone's opinion on a social injustice is not rooted in reality or not. That's not what we're arguing about. We're arguing about whether or not, as an employee, you have the right to do so while at work.
This is what I want to see. I want to see.
Well, what you want to see and what the law is may have a huge chasm between the two.
This is what I want to see. I want to see groups of police officers, of former police officers, talk about the real issue of it. Talk about police officers shooting a guy in the back. Talk about police officer shooting a guy while he got his hands up, sitting in the car looking at him.
Where was that?
In Detroit.
You talking about in Ferguson?
No, in Detroit. The
guy
sitting in the car.
All right.
The guy sitting in the car, the police officer standing right over him. The guy, the police officer asking for him. The guy got his hands up, sitting in the car. And the police officer shoots him.
Okay.
Why aren't police officers?
And at the same time, we ought to be talking about the guys that are shooting the police and the citizens who are killing other citizens.
That is true.
Right?
Let's
talk about it all. But, if I just go to Jared Cook's statement and say the same thing, if I was a police officer or a firefighter or anything, we're not just first responders. We're people that live this. It's people in our neighborhood.
Mr.
It's people
Norman.
That we grew up with. It's
True.
People that we know who are actually living through these circumstances.
Mr.
So
Norman.
When we speak on it,
Norman.
It's not like we're speaking out of the side of our neck. I could say
True.
The same thing for those folks as well.
This is the difference, Mr. Norman. When somebody, two guys shooting at each other on the corner, police officers come out and they're looking for the guy and they're going door to door. And they're asking questions, and people are actually trying to help them.
Absolutely.
But when a police officer shoots someone wrongly, are they acting the same way? Let's get this guy.
Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. There's no perfect police officers. Are there police officers that are racist? Yes. That have malintent? Yes, not any different than any other occupation in America.
But here lies the difference.
And the difference, no. The reality is that the leaders of these organizations have to do everything that they can to remediate that situation.
We don't know
all the time what's in the hearts and minds of people.
I have
people every day call me a racist, and they know nothing about it. I talk about things in a neutral stance, and because they don't like the outcome of what I have to say, I'm a racist. I think that is what is disingenuous, that is what is dishonest, and that is what we need to shed ourselves of in this country if we're ever going to become a forward-thinking society where we begin to realize that we have more in common than we otherwise. And until we get to there, we can make excuses and throw smoke screens up all we want. We're not going to get anywhere. This conversation is completely about employer-employee relationship and what you can do at work. Plain and simple. End of the story. That is it. We'll be right back after the break. We're going to have to continue this conversation at another time. We've got a... California judge rejected President Trump's efforts to detain immigrant families long term. Should he have the right to request and do so? We're going to talk about historically where things are. We've heard a lot about abolish ICE. It's a terrorist organization, and that this didn't happen when it was called INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service. Sometimes I think people don't ever look at the empirical data. They don't want to know the truth. They want to know the truth as they want to frame it. But sometimes, when you look, the truth runs counter to what you believe, and many times, the truth hurts. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.